Friends of the Cross, number 72. The Homily. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We who are Europeans tend to regard people's names, especially if we don't know the people well, as mere labels to indicate who they are. Names for us tend to point out which person we're thinking of, but do little more than that. If I tell you that someone is called Harold, or Thomas, or Penelope, or Jane, it tells you very little about that person. We do not put very much meaning into a name in our part of the world. But for God, for the Church, and for certain races on the earth, a name is much more significant than that. They see much, much more in a name than a mere indicative label round someone's neck, as it were. We know from Holy Scripture that from time to time, in certain very important moments in the history of man's salvation, God has changed people's names. He has changed their names at the moment when they begin a new and very important vocation. Because their function in life has changed, because their nature, as it were, in relation to salvation has changed, God gives them a new name, which describes their function or duty or significance in life for God. A name, in all its richness, indicates not only the person who owns it, but says something about him as well, what kind of person he is, what he is for. So God changed the name of Abraham to Abraham, not because he was liable to be confused with someone else, but because Abraham was to become the father in faith of a great many spiritual descendants. And the word Abraham means father of a multitude. The patriarch Jacob, too, had his name changed by God, because after a great spiritual trial, he grew spiritually strong and significant in God's plan. So his name was changed to Israel, which expresses that state. Simon, the son of John, when he came to Jesus and received his vocation, was given a new name by God. Jesus said that he would be called Cephas or Peter, a word meaning rock, because he was the rock on which the Church of Christ on earth would be built. The most important man who ever lived, and whose life and death and resurrection are the whole basis of our salvation, did not have his name changed by God. It was given to him from the beginning by God, for his vocation began at the very moment of the Incarnation. He was the Saviour from the first moment of his conception, and the holy name by which he was to be called was revealed by God to both Mary and Joseph. He is to be called Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. The Hebrew word Jesus means God saves. This holy name of Jesus, which is so very much more than a mere label to say who he is to be uttered and heard with great reverence. It is a name at which every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, Scripture tells us. Yet it is the name of our most dear and intimate companion through life. It is the name that ensures our welfare, our salvation itself. There is no more lovely name anywhere on earth. It is a name that must fill us with delight and which must fill us with confidence, come what may, in our lives. It is a devout custom, and one which we should carefully preserve, to bow one's head when one says or hears the name of Jesus. But it is in no sense whatever a cause for fear. There is only one thing to fear in life, and that is sin. St. John says we must not sin. But he goes on to say that if nevertheless we do sin, we have an advocate in Jesus. The very worst thing that can happen to us is to sin. The worst thing we can be is sinners. That is the most unfortunate state that can afflict us. And even if it is true that no one becomes a sinner except by his own choice, nevertheless we are all sinners. But the very name of Jesus binds him to sinners, to those who really are in need. He didn't come and doesn't come to call the righteous but sinners to a change in life. So in one sense at least we're fortunate in being sinners. If we were not sinners in need of being saved, the Saviour would not have anything to do for us. His name is Jesus, and he comes to save. So this precious name is the comfort in all our distress and the health in all our sickness. Call on this name, and nothing can be wrong with you. The name of Jesus is not a label. When you say this name, you are calling upon the Saviour, and he is present, God with us. Saint Paul tells us that nothing can separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. Nothing. So if we love him above all things, as we certainly shall, if we have even a faint idea as to what he's really like, nothing ought to upset us, not even our sins, although our love will make us deeply sorry for them, for they hurt the one we love. The holy name is the name of God with us. It is a name that crushes and terrifies the powers of darkness. It is the name that brightens our lives and lifts us up and makes us dwell in the supernatural light of God. Devotion to the holy name is something we all have. I'm sure we have. Let us make good use and very frequent use of this holy name. There is no other name given to man on earth by which he can be saved. It is a name under which no one can be lost. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Friends of the Cross, number 72, the Conference. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. There are in the Bible literally thousands of texts, all of which are inspired by God, and which, if pondered over with humility and simplicity and faith, can give us a great deal of light and a great increase in devotion. Sometimes the thoughts that these texts bring to mind may be ones the scripture scholars would agree with, and sometimes they are not. But if meditating on an inspired text gives us light and fire in our souls, surely it doesn't matter whether we are seeing the text in an academic light or not. God often speaks to the simple in a very profound way by means of his texts in Scripture, enabling them to see or feel a significance in the words which Scripture scholars would not see. The Word of God is very deep and has much more meaning and many more depths of meaning than scientific study can discover. The great concern of our life is to love God and to be loved by him. Life is either a love affair with God, or else it is distorted and wasted and finally destroyed. If we do not receive and foster eternal life in ourselves, the life we have is almost an illusion. So it's not only a great joy, but also a very necessary habit we should acquire to use all the means we can to increase and make more deep and firm that love affair with God that we were created and recreated for. We have before now in these days of recollection sought some help from the words of a book in the Bible which treats very graphically and deeply the subject of our union with God and its ups and downs. The Song of Songs is not an easy book to read, perhaps, and not all that easy to understand in parts, but some of the texts in it are brilliant and could be an immense help to anyone who has ever loved God or even loved a fellow human being with a deep love. Today, with the help of Saint Bernard, I want to give you a few thoughts based on one short text from the Song of Songs, although I can't anywhere near approach the brilliance of the sermon of St. Bernard himself on this text. That sermon of the saint is too rich, in my opinion, to be recited straight through, and his hearers must have thought about it for months after he gave it to them. It is a very short text, and at first hearing you may think it doesn't sound very promising as a source of spiritual inspiration. The Song of Songs contains a conversation, or a number of conversations if you like, between the bride and the bridegroom, who are both deeply in love. But the bridegroom is God, and the bride is the church, and also the individual member of the church. In the course of their conversation, the bridegroom and the bride have to use symbols and poetry to express the things they want to say to one another, because their love is so great that ordinary literal prose statements have not enough fire in them to express their feelings. So it is when we love God or speak with him. This song of love begins with the bride speaking, and she asks for a kiss from the bridegroom. I wonder how many of us long for a kiss from God like the bride. We ought to, because we are the bride of God. It seems as if the bride does receive this spiritual experience, this prayer experience, which we can call a kiss from God, because she then melts with love and says the words I want to talk about in this conference. She says to her bridegroom, "Your name is an oil poured out." This text, then, makes us think about God, our bridegroom, in such a way that we think prayerfully of his name, we think prayerfully of oil, and we think prayerfully of oil poured out. And we feel with devotion that cannot be put into any words that his name is an oil poured out. Surely God invites us to think in this way in our prayer by giving us these inspired words, and will give us grace to find in them what he wants us to find. And God is our bridegroom. He speaks to us through Holy Scripture, using poetry and symbols, as well as other literary forms of expression. If you study the Scriptures, you will find many different names for God. For example, we are told that his name is holy and to be feared. We are told that he is named our Righteous One. We are told that his name is Emmanuel, or God with us. We are told that he is merciful. And many other statements in the Bible tell us what God is called, what he means, and what he is to us. But all these names, or ways of describing God, can be reduced to two, which sum them all up. They all express one of two things. They express either the gift to us of his love, or they express the power of his majesty. Two things, then, should be in our hearts and minds as we think of God in the context of our love affair with him. Firstly, his power and his majesty, the greatness of God, which inspires a holy fear or awe in us, or it ought to. And secondly, the gift to us of his love, which ought to inspire us with absolute confidence and great joy. God's name is not just love, but the gift of that love to us. It is God who saves us and raises us up to become the bride of God. In the Acts of the Apostles, we are told that there is only one name by which we can be saved. This name is not simply the name of God in all his majesty and power. It is the name of Jesus, who is God. Saint Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, says, "Of all the names in the world given to men, this is the only one by which we can be saved." If we are to be the bride of God, if we are to receive the kiss of God in our prayer, it is in the name of Jesus that it will come about. The holy name of Jesus ought to be the most precious name there is for us. The mention of this name should not only make us bow our head at the majesty of God, but melt with most affectionate love for God, whose name is Mercy. Your name is an oil poured out. It is the holy name of Jesus to which this text really refers. It is in him that we receive God's embrace. Our love affair with God is our love affair with Jesus, and it is in him and it is with him in us that we experience it. Among the beautiful prophecies of Isaiah is one which speaks of Jesus and gives us his name. Isaiah, looking ahead to the coming of the Saviour, says this: "This is the name they give him, Wonder, Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace." His name thus contains both the awe-inspiring majesty of God and the merciful gift of his love to us. All this we condense into the lovely, holy name of Jesus. He's not just gentle Jesus, meek and mild, although he is meek and humble in heart, but he is also mighty God. In our love for Jesus, in our feelings as we hear or say or think of the holy name, we combine awe with confident and intimate love. Saint Bernard asks us, after quoting Isaiah, which of the names given to Jesus, Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, which of these names is poured out? The bride says, "Your name is an oil poured out." How does this apply to the name summed up in Jesus? Is it the majesty and power that are poured out, or the love and mercy and gentleness? The question is probably not a very good one, because Jesus is one person we love, one bridegroom. Can we apply this idea of pouring out to the holy name? The answer St. Bernard gives is this. He says, "In some mysterious way, the name of majesty and power is transfused into that of love and mercy, an amalgam that is abundantly poured out in the person of our Saviour Jesus Christ." The name God liquefies and dissolves into the title God with us, that is, into Emmanuel. He who is wonderful becomes Counselor. God and the Mighty One become the Everlasting Father and the Prince of Peace. So the holy name of Jesus, at which we bow our heads in awe and reverence, is an amalgam of the majesty of God and of his merciful gift to us. God is God, but he is with us. Think if you can, what that really means, what God means, what with us means. It's a very startling thought. Jesus really is God with us. We are the bride of God, the bride of Christ. We have the privileges, the rights, the joys, and the rewards of a bride of God because his name has been poured out for us. We take his name, as it were, don't we? God almost melts into us. Whenever you think of the holy name of Jesus, see God poured out most sweetly into your soul. The name of Jesus is very powerful and effective and very gentle and comforting. His name is an oil poured out. It is a very fragrant oil. It is poured out into our souls and makes them fragrant. The name of Jesus sweetens our lives interiorly. Now we have thought a little about the name and its being poured out, but what about the comparison of it to oil? What can we find in that symbol? We live in a part of the world where oil is not such an essential ingredient of our food or our lamps as it was for the people to whom the Song of Songs was first sung. But we can make our own meditations on it, and I think St. Bernard's ideas are very helpful in doing so, helpful in deepening our reactions of love whenever we hear or think or say the name of Jesus. One thought that immediately comes to mind is what our Lord said about the wise and the foolish bridesmaids in his parable, and how the possession of oil made all the difference to them. But why does the inspired text we are thinking about use the symbol of oil? You or I may see many suggestions in this image of oil as applied to the Holy Name. The fact that there is a good comparison between oil and the Holy Name is proved by words in our text which come from the Holy Spirit, so we can't argue with them. In Scripture, the Holy Spirit does mention oil, however, in other places too, with its healing, soothing, joy-giving properties. But no definite interpretation of the symbolism is given in the Song of Songs itself, in the actual text that we're considering. So we think of the bride and the bridegroom, and of their kiss, and of the oil poured out. So we might do well to join St. Bernard in his insights into the symbolism of oil. Unless you can persuade me otherwise, says the saint, I hold that the likeness, he means of the Holy Name to oil, I hold that the likeness is to be found in the threefold property of oil. It gives light, it nourishes, it anoints. It feeds the flame, it nourishes the body, it relieves pain. It is light, food, medicine. And isn't this true, too, of the bridegroom's name? When preached, it gives light. When meditated, it nourishes. When invoked, it relieves and soothes. Our Lord's name is an oil poured out. Whenever we see the sanctuary lamp and the oil on which it feeds, we can think of this. The name of Jesus feeds the flame, nourishes the body, and relieves pain. It is light, food, and medicine. Of course, in our devotion to the Holy Name, we're not making an absolute distinction between the actual name of Jesus and his person. Whenever you say Jesus, he himself is there. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Let's look at the threefold symbolism of oil as used to tell us something that is beyond speech about our Lord. Light, food, medicine. He is all these three. First of all, light. Our Lord is the light of the world, and he told us so. If he is not present, there's no light. No matter how much men may think otherwise, there's no light if Jesus isn't present. And you and I ought to feel in the dark whenever this precious oil of the name of Jesus is absent from what we are thinking or doing or hearing in some way. We must live in his light all the time. And we ought to feel the darkness when anything enters our hearing or our mind from which Jesus is excluded. Everything Christian contains this fragrant oil of the name of Jesus, which has been poured out over all creation, and it is only eradicated by the malice of wicked men. This is our Lord's world, and everything within it is his. And he is the true light that enlightens every man who comes into this world. But some men prefer darkness because their deeds are evil, as Jesus said. This must not be true of us. Whenever we see any sign of darkness, let us call on the name of Jesus in our hearts, so that the oil poured out may fill us with God's light, kindling the sanctuary lamp within our souls. Or rather, making our enlightened souls themselves signs of God's presence. If we have any interests which we cannot engage in without feeling uneasy at the thought of Jesus, then for us those interests are a source of darkness. And we must decide what is part of God's plan, what things concern his kingdom, by reference to the faith we have received in Jesus Christ. We must firmly extract and discard the worldly ideas and judgments that come to us from the world which surrounds us and from its so-called experts in one field or another of human conduct and purpose. We have all felt the difference between a dull winter's day and a bright spring morning. The light of the sun cheers us up no matter how we're feeling. Jesus is the sun of our souls. When you feel depressed or miserable and everything seems dull and heavy, think of that oil poured out. Think of the name of Jesus. Be like the bride in the Song of Songs and call your bridegroom to your heart by name. if you do this reverently and with all the love that you can summon, the sun will come out. There will be light in your heart flaring up through the outpouring of that fragrant oil which is the name of Jesus. Light in our darkness, warmth in our coldness, joy in our sadness comes to us as we call our Lord Jesus by his holy name into the depths of our heart. This can, when God so wills it, make us feel quite different from the way we felt only a few moments before. We had forgotten our bridegroom, and now we have remembered him again. Let us hold on to him and never let him go. That oil poured out gives light. We must not put that light under a barrel, but on a lampstand, so that it lights up the whole of our soul. In our meditations, in the things we talk about, that holy oil is what gives light and savour to our thoughts. Everything should be sweetened by the name of Jesus. St. Bernard says, and he really meant it, every food of the mind is dry if it is not dipped in that oil. It is tasteless if not seasoned by that salt. Write what you will, I shall not relish it unless it tells of Jesus. Talk or argue about what you will, I shall not relish it if you exclude the name of Jesus. Jesus is to me honey in the mouth, music in the ear, a song in the heart. Yes, just as oil gives light and also nourishes us and seasons our food, so does the name of Jesus give us light and feed our souls. Our strength comes from him. Call him to your heart whenever you feel faint-hearted. Oil is also used for anointing, for healing. It is a medicine. It smooths things over when they grate or jar. This divine oil which we are thinking about is poured out to heal us. It heals all real ills. Let me quote St. Bernard once again on the subject. Does one of us feel sad? Let the name of Jesus come into his heart. From there let it spring to his mouth, so that shining like the dawn it may dispel all darkness and make a cloudless sky. Does someone fall into sin? Does his despair even urge him to suicide? Let him but invoke this life-giving name, and his will to live will be at once renewed. The hardness of heart that is our common experience, the apathy bred of indolence, bitterness of mind, repugnance for the things of the Spirit, have they ever failed to yield in the presence of that saving name? The tears dammed up by the barrier of our pride, how have they not burst forth again with sweeter abundance at the thought of Jesus? And where is the man who, terrified and trembling before impending peril, has not been suddenly filled with courage and rid of fear by calling on the strength of that name? Where is the man who, tossed on the rolling seas of doubt, did not quickly find certitude by recourse to the clarity of Jesus' name? Was ever a man so discouraged, so beaten down by afflictions, to whom the sound of this name did not bring new resolve? In short, for all ills and disorders to which flesh is heir, this name is medicine. Call on me in the day of trouble, says the Lord in Psalm 49. Call on me in the day of trouble, I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me. There are many degrees of prayer, there are many levels and depths to our inner communion with God. No two people who really love God love him in exactly the same way, for we are all different, and each of us is a unique bride of Christ. The marriage, the spiritual marriage in our hearts, is very personal and intimate and secret, but we only become aware of it and make it grow more intense by receiving that oil poured out, which is the holy name of Jesus. One of the great trials of ours in the modern world is agitation and anxiety. We feel under pressure, and we feel troubled or upset. Yet our Lord has promised to us his own peace, a peace which the world cannot give. It is not just oil on troubled waters that we need, We need to be impregnated with that fragrant oil which is poured out when we receive the Holy Name, when we call upon our Bridegroom, when we open our hearts to Him. Tranquility is something we need very much, and we can all have it, whatever our circumstances. We shall not find it by means of yoga or physical techniques, although they help some people to be more open to it. When you are not peaceful and tranquil, call upon the name of Jesus, and let that soothing oil flow into your heart and spread into your whole being. Jesus, your name is an oil poured out. We have thought, to some extent at least now, about one text from Holy Scripture which God has given us. And if we love our Lord, as surely all of us here do, we shall find a kind of response in our hearts to the idea of the oil poured out. The pictures and ideas used in Scripture are not only useful for study and critical analysis, they tend to call forth responses from the depths of our hearts, spiritual responses. This is because the Holy Spirit is in our hearts, and it is words He inspired that we hear in Holy Scripture. We have thought about one text this afternoon, but there are many thousands more in the Bible, all from God, and we shall never have gone through them all in this life. But if you find one text which keeps you going for a long time in your meditation and mental prayer, keep on with that one, and don't feel you must try others until that one seems to have lost some of its impact on your soul. I reminded you that the Song of Songs begins by the bride asking for a kiss from the bridegroom. If you feel moved by the words, "Your name is an oil poured out," and if you think it will help you in moments of darkness or weakness or trouble to think of that sweet oil being poured out within you, then it is a sign that you have received a kiss from the bridegroom. God has given you an embrace, and Jesus is with you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.